Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, my favorite podcast to listen to on long flights across the galaxy.
This is the way.
We want it, men.
Welcome to episode 185 of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. This is episode 185. I'm Glenn. Jason's there. And we're recording. We don't know what we're going to talk about. Probably be Bad Batch. And Toylana's next week, so we may talk about that too. But Jason, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
This episode of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast is brought to you by Cerveza Cristal. I was thinking about that more this week. Sorry.
Yeah.
And how much that edit of Star Wars makes Obi-Wan Kenobi seem like an alcoholic.
Well, that's his job. Yeah. He was
racing to give Luke that first bottle of alcohol that he just had conveniently in a chest with a bunch of ice on it. And in the Falcon, you know, that scene where Luke is with the training ball and he's got the shield down and everything. And they show right. that Obi-Wan's got it under his sleeve. And it's like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings and holding the ring. It's his precious. And Obi-Wan Kenobi's going underneath his robe to make sure it's there. It's my precious.
Precious.
So it's just, I don't know why I've been, I know why I've been thinking about it. I've been trying to find Cerveza Cristal for Rogue Fun.
Yeah. Anything, any luck?
If I lived in Miami and if I had a brother that lived in Miami and if I was going to meet up with my brother sometime in April, there might be some luck.
There might be. Awesome.
But yeah. Fingers crossed that we get that piss water for Rogue Fun.
Dude, all beer, like not all beer, but you'll be surprised how many beers are just piss water because they're just nasty. A lot of them, yeah. A lot of the American beers are really bad.
Yeah, I don't drink beer. I just like that sweet apple stuff. You want me to go on about apples again?
No, it's fine. Okay. You know, unless... yeah, no, I think we're good.
Okay.
I don't think we need to go on about apples and apple bananas and
there's no apple whatever. Banana. But did you pick anything up this week?
I'm trying to remember if I did. I know I picked up a first shot of the Toy Biz Bill and Ted phone booth. That was supposed to be here today, but it went through one of the processing centers and it's at another one. So I'm hoping it'll be here Monday because I don't know if anybody really knows anybody outside of Atlanta knows or cares that the distribution center here is going through some kind of weird change. So everything's effed up. They're like moving it or changing it. And
yeah,
they're having staffing issues and people just are like losing their mind and losing their stuff. And it's taking forever to get stuff. We had the cards. We'd sent cards out a couple of weeks ago and it took like a week and a half to get where they needed to go. Yeah. I mean, they were just, we just got word. My wife sent them out two Mondays ago and they just got where they were going yesterday or Thursday. So a week and a half to.
Very worried about the news because I have the same kind of situation with the mail. Mm-hmm. And so I went down the whole. Can you hear me? Is this coming through here?
I can hear you.
I just want to make sure that, my taxes don't arrive. My taxes were sent to me weeks ago, and there's something I got to do to send it in. And it's just, there's a whole conspiracy about the mail now. And so I was just trying to research, like, what's going on with the mail? And then you click on this, and you click on that. And none of it's true, by the way.
No, okay. So there's not an alien race trying to take over our mail in Atlanta?
I mean, who's to say about that one? So that phone booth, is that a modern phone booth or is that a vintage Kenner phone booth?
It is a modern phone booth. It's from Toy Biz. So they redid the line within the last couple of years. And there's a guy on eBay that's selling a bunch of prototypes. And as soon as I bought the phone booth, then he lists resin Bill and Ted's on there. And I'm like, I look at my wife and she's like, no, you already bought the phone booth. You can't spend more money. Cause what happened was I actually took your advice and I said, F it. And I put in a $200 bid on it and he accepted it. And before I got any notifications, my credit card was charged. And I hear my wife yell at me from the living room, what did you buy on eBay? And I went, oh, I guess he accepted the offer.
Oh, damn.
So, those Sigma pieces are probably going to Rogue Fund so I can make some money.
That's why those were added to the room sale post.
But I mean, I'm also thinking it's like those things are going, like we always said, when the money's right or when the time is right, you should probably move stuff. So, anyway, and I think that's all I picked up. I did hear back from Jazzwares on the,
crack
in the Jedi or whatever, the Imperial shuttle. They sent me a bunch of options that I already had. As far as, replacing ships, I think they said, well, you can have a lat, you can have this. We don't have the Imperial shuttle, but here's a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I've got all those. So they ended up giving me a $30 credit to their website, and I haven't found anything I want yet. I thought about maybe ordering the N1 Starfighter from them and maybe something else. But then I emailed her later, and I'm like, hey, do you guys have... just out of, for grins and giggles, you have a Sabine Starfighter or a Sabine TIE Fighter. And she just sent me back like this lackluster, like, we already sent you everything we had and we don't have, we blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's just a question, lady. If you've got one, that'd be great. But, customer service was good, but firm at Jazzwares.
You're not the first person to ask that question, I'm sure.
I'm sure I'm not. It's
a very frustrating experience trying to track this stuff down. And then I get even more frustrated when I see like someone pick up two of the 5,000, holographic X-Wings. Those have been popping up on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And they'll get three of the Shadow V-Wing, and I'm just like extremely frustrated that there's nothing here. And then you've got these people finding two, which they're able to flip for a couple $100.
Right. Well, it's also, like you keep saying, vote with your wallet, and it's the people that are buying the stuff that are setting the market. And if people would just be like, I'm not going to spend the $200 on a $5 or on a $15 ship, then it would be okay. Mm-hmm. But because you got people paying that money, scalpers are going to buy them. And scalper's going to scalp. And, that would help out with that. But, yes, it is annoying. I did. Yeah. Cause we're a member of the Galaxy Squadron Facebook group. And yeah, you do see people that are, they're posting pictures and there's three of the rares sitting there. And I'm like, the thing that annoys me is like, that should have been Sabine's TIE Fighter. If we would have had that in America, if that would have hit the US shelves or something happened with that ship, and they should have been, that it could have very easily been posted, because the rares, they're not that hard to find if you look.
Well, I've been looking and I can't find a single rare. So I'm frustrated.
With this run, it's been hard. With the I think it's because we just haven't really seen them. Or if we do see them, scalpers have already got them.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that I've got friends who've been able to help me out, because I think I've only found two of those chase / rare vehicles.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah. But yeah. You pick anything else up?
I did pick up, I just remembered this. Hot Wheels does the little mini ships.
Oh, right.
And they did a Ghost, and I found that, and I was pretty excited about that one.
Is that a common vehicle, or is that a chase? Or
it's a common vehicle, because what the thing with Hot Wheels is, if they're going to do a chase, they dirty it up, or they do a different paint deco on it, and then that makes it a chase. So it's not really a different vehicle. You know, they don't change the vehicle that much to make it a chase.
Okay. I did pick up two First Shot Leias for Micro Machines.
Nice. Did those come in?
Those came in, yeah. I was nervous because of the mail situation. I've got a piece of mail that's been sitting there for 10 days. It's just been sitting somewhere.
Wow.
So I was nervous that that wouldn't come in. I also got... Did something just happen with my headphones?
I don't know. You sound good on my end.
All right, whatever. I think I've lost it in my ear. I can't hear you. No. So I got that. I've got that exhibition that I'm working on for Rogue Fun. So a couple items for that came in, and I don't want to reveal that yet. I do need to order that Wilro Hood living set card.
That was only for like a day.
No, it's for a week. I think it's got 3 days left as of this recording. So I just need to order that.
Yeah, I would, because then you're going to forget about it and be like, doggone it.
But yesterday, which was Friday, Matt Ferguson, who's an artist who did the 40th anniversary Return of the Jedi poster.
Uh-huh.
And he also did the Empire Strikes Back poster, posted on Facebook that he's got some extra posters that he's going to list for sale on his website at 6 p.m. UK time, which is 2 p.m. our time.
Today or yesterday?
Yesterday. So I got everything ready. I created an account on his site because I really wanted that Return of the Jedi poster. Mm-hmm. And I got everything ready. I signed into PayPal because I've learned from Mondo, like, you need to be Johnny on the spot. Otherwise, you're not going to get it.
Right.
And I went live. I added the poster into my cart. It was in pounds. So that threw me off for a second. I'm like, wait, how much am I actually spending?
Because
it's in British pounds, not US dollar. And then I was like, well, Empire Strikes Back's my favorite, so maybe I should get that one. So I go back and I look, and I'm like, it's kind of plain compared to the Return of the Jedi one. Return of the Jedi one has a Kenner nod to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back, and I went to go hit OK, and it was gone.
You thought it's just too long.
Yeah, it's just that for some reason I just have, like, buyer's remorse whenever I buy something. Like, there's some shame attached to it, and... Like, I should have just bought it, because even if I didn't want it and it didn't fit in a room or something, I could have flipped it for a couple $100. And even though that's not my thing, I wouldn't have lost. There was no loss for me for buying that, is the point.
I hate buyer's remorse when you spend money on something. You know, you'll go spend like $50 on something and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent $50 on it, but then spending $200 on something is nothing.
Yeah.
You'll just overthink it. And I hate that feeling. I did try, because Sting's coming to Atlanta. The band. It's just him and two other guys.
You got that joke.
Yeah. So I was thinking I was gonna buy tickets, and you know, you see pre-sale tickets, and I forgot that they went on sale yesterday they went on sale at like 10 a.m. or something. And it's already sold out, and it's full of scalpers. So it's annoying. And people are wanting $300-$400 for tickets. And I'm like, I love the Police, but I don't really like Sting. So I don't want to spend the money to hear like four Police songs. You know, if I knew the whole show was going to be Police songs, I would spend the money, be more willing to spend the money. Cause my wife's like, why don't we, if you want to go, go. But it's just annoying scalpers, because it's everywhere.
Yep. Especially the ticket That's a whole nother thing, the ticket industry.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think I mentioned before that I finished my Star Destroyer, my 3D printed Star Destroyer. It measures over 4 feet long. Mm-hmm. I started this thing back in September. I wanted to do something big and bold. I wanted to really push 3D printing. I've done little things. I've done helmets and stuff, but I was like, I want to do something massive with a 3D printer. So it took a long time. I used two different printers. I learned a lot about printing because the printer went down at one point and I thought it was just dead. And then I was like, no, let me go back and reapproach it. And I was able to fix it. So it actually made me feel, it boosted my confidence a little bit because I don't feel very technical like that, but I was able to fix it, be a mechanical fixer. All these are technical terms, by the way.
Yes.
And so over the time of, and it was like 160 different prints that I had to do. Some took like 2 days to finish printing. I think one took 3 days. And so anyways, the point is that I've kind of gotten a little bit more acclimated to what the overall look and feel of the Star Destroyer is, and I've able to kind of go in and see, okay, I see what they did here. So when I went to Disney a couple of weeks ago and went to Launch Bay, they had a Star Destroyer there, and I remember being mesmerized by the Star Destroyer the first couple times I went there because I thought it was really cool. It's part of the reason why I wanted to print one. And now that I've gone back and now that I've seen this model and gotten to know it a lot better, I'm like, oh, this is a Star Destroyer purchased on Wish. And it's all handmade. It's all, you know, more than I could do. But I could see that they did enough just to, it's like broad strokes. It's just enough to give the impression of a Star Destroyer. But when you get close and I start comparing it to mine, it's like, oh, that's, they cut some, you know, Disney was being cheap and was like, don't give us the $50,000 one. Give us the $20,000 one.
Mm-hmm. Is it a model or a, because it's in Launch Bay, right?
It's in Launch Bay. I would say it's probably made out of that plastic, it escapes my mind, but if you go to any hobby store, there's a plastic that you can buy that's easily to cut, it's easy to bend with when you heat it up. It's escaping my mind, but and they used it as a model maker for the original movies. I mean, that's what they would do. They would make the big shapes out of this, and then they would go into the 1940 tank models and they would start pulling pieces from that, and then they would start adding that the greenblees to make it look a little bit more used and less simplified.
Yeah, no, that sorry, my dogs see something, but the that Star Destroyer is impressive, and you don't realize, hey, close the window scale. So they can't see. Yeah. You don't realize the scale because you had printed a Millennium Falcon and some TIE fighters to scale it, and they're like the size of a dime.
Yep.
Compared to the Millennium Falcon's probably more like a quarter to 50-cent piece, but then the TIE fighters are like dime sizes on top of this thing. So then you really realize the scale of a Star Destroyer by that. And you know, they're again bringing it back to Micro Galaxy Squadron. Remember, people are like, why can't you do a Star Destroyer? And they're like, it would take up a room.
Yeah, it's too small or it's too big.
You know, and you scale everything up, and then you realize, you know, the one you made is like 4 feet long. So you would have to double it at least to make it scale, and it'd be impossible. But it's an impressive piece. Like I keep saying, dude, you've got more talent in your little finger than I've got in my whole body. And
well, thank you for saying that. But I think you need to double it for Micro Machines. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to maybe quadruple it or maybe six times it, that term is, to get to Micro Galaxy Squadron size.
It's even
bigger. I don't got time for that. My printer's going to die before I get to finishing that one.
And you don't have the room. Shannon would be mad.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I want my garage.
All right. I do have some news.
Oh, is there news? They've released some stuff this week.
Yeah, we should have put this on the bingo card. Patty Jenkins sat down with host Ben Mankiewicz on the TCM Max podcast Talking Pictures, and she said that her Rogue Squadron movie is back on. she said she signed a new deal with Lucasfilms. So she says, so when I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3, I thought maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. So we did a deal for that to happen, started the deal, but I thought I was doing Wonder Woman. When that went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was happening. So now I owe a draft of Star Wars, and so we'll see what happens there. You know, like, who knows? And so we'll see what happens. It's hard. They have a hard job in front of them of what's the first movie they're going to do. They have other directors who have been working, but I am now, you know, I'm back on doing Rogue Squadron, and we'll see what happens.
I'm excited for it. I mean, you know, to have a Top Gun space movie would be awesome.
Is Wedge Antilles a must have in that movie?
I think so. Well, it depends on what they're going to do. Is he going to be like a mentor, or are they going to make him a main character?
Are we talking Top Gun, or are we talking Top Gun Maverick?
Exactly. I mean, where is it going to fit in the timeline?
Yeah.
So I think you need to have a Wedge in there.
I think Wedge needs to be the main character, yeah. Personally. I think Disney's trying to create their own Star Wars, but at some point they have to realize they're sort of abandoning the original Star Wars fans.
Right.
It's great. Like, it's like spinning plates. You know, like one plate starts to slow down, you have to focus your attention, start spinning that. And if another plate starts to slow down, you got to focus on doing that. And right now I feel like Disney's just spinning that modern plate, and they're mm-hmm. forgetting about the original trilogy and somewhat, to some extent, the prequel trilogy. And all of those people are just watching their plate shatter. So I think Lucasfilm needs to give the original trilogy people something more than just Rogue One.
Gotcha. No, I agree.
I also found out this week that Brendan Wayne does most of the non-acting for The Mandalorian. He does like the walk and the acting. He doesn't do the action stunt pieces. Mm-hmm. He's John Wayne's grandson.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
That's like 2022, man.
I guess it escaped me. I've been focused on printing Star Destroyers. I don't know.
Printing Star Destroyers and getting ready for Rogue Fun.
I've been too busy trying to find chases and rares to focus on who's playing the Mandalorian. Excuse me. Thank you very much.
No, I'm just getting back to chasing stuff.
Here we go again.
Huh?
Here we go again.
No, I'm just getting to the point where I'm passing Walmarts and not even stopping anymore. Yeah. It was at the point where if I passed a Walmart, I'd stop, or a Target, but I'm just not. I've lost interest for a couple of days. We'll see what happens next week.
So there's some interesting succession-like stuff happening at the Disney company right now.
Yeah?
There's a couple activist investors who are trying to get seats on the board. And it all goes back to the fact that some guy was fired at Marvel, and he's bitter that he got fired at Marvel because, you know, Kevin Feige wanted he wanted the ability to do whatever the hell he wanted. And this guy was like, no, you can't do characters based on race. You can't do Black Panther. That'll never be successful. And so when Black Panther came out and it was successful, this guy was kind of let go. And so he's been bitter. He's coming at Disney, trying to take over Disney. And it hasn't really worked out for him all that much, because this is like the third time they've tried to go for a board seat. Anyways, uh-huh. I say all that to set this up. So Disney is released with the SEC a filing to show their profits and stuff, to kind of show shareholders, hey, we're great. We're successful. So we're doing a great job, and there's no reason to get an activist shareholder on the board. That's the background behind this. But inside that filing, it said that since 2012, when they purchased Lucasfilm for $4.5 billion, they've profited $12 billion from the franchise.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Good investment.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm glad they picked up that piece of intellectual property.
Right.
I do think that when we look back on Star Wars someday, we're going to say there's the George Lucas Star Wars and there's the Disney Star Wars.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be something like that. Yeah. Is there?
There's more.
Go for it.
StarWars.com announced Imperial March, a celebration of villainy and action figure, which includes action figures, collectibles, apparel, accessories, and more. They featured a t-shirt that'll be exclusively available on Amazon. It looked like a propaganda empire kind of t-shirt. The Jedi Fallen Order 3-pack. It's a black series with Cal, the second sister, and a purge trooper. Pretty much all repacked, except Cal's got a different body, I think. The Phantom Menace N1 Starfighter, which is a micro-galaxy squadron vehicle, which is exclusively available through Target. Oxford Pennants. So these are like fabric fleece pennants. They look like a vintage 1900s turn of the century college pennant. And then there's a High Republic downloadable poster, which is like, who cares about that? I did look into the pennants because stop saying like these downloadable posters are something exclusive when, you know, that could be just easily swiped from a Google search. Right. Anyways, I did look at the pennants and some of these are like $80 to $225 depending on which one you order.
For a pen?
Pennant, like the pennant. Flags.
Oh, like, Jesus.
Like the triangular flag. Some of them are like hanging from a post. They are customizable, but I mean, I think it would be cheaper to hire someone off of Etsy to make these.
Right.
Sorry.
No, Disney does like to get your money.
Yeah. But they did announce a new Darth Vader, which will be VC 334. It's the vintage collection. This is all for vintage collection. It's a Darth Vader, but it's basically just a repack of a previous Vader. And they did pitch that the attractive thing about this one is they've moved the warning label from the Hildebrandt, Luke and Leia in the top corner down to the bottom of the racetrack. So I don't know. The Stormtrooper is a straight repack. It's already been released. It's got the same VC number. And then they also announced Captain Enoch in the Van Halen Stormtrooper pack. It's a 4-pack. A lot of people are upset that they've packaged a Captain Enoch figure, which is a, you know, a speaking character. It's not a troop builder. If you were to buy multiple packs of these troop builders, you're going to have multiple, you know, Captain Enoch's, which just doesn't really help you. So going forward, they did say that they're not going to be packing main characters or talking characters in these builder troops. It's only going to be the troops themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I could see that. I didn't see it that weird. That I mean, you're kind of like, huh? When or at least I was. That does it. But you know, it was weird that they put Enoch with that. But I didn't think about it when people are troop building. So yeah, if you there you go. You're gonna have like 4 or 5 Enochs if you troop build.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a way just to get it out there.
It's either that or it was a way to make sure that people bought this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them has been going on clearance. So I think they're trying to find a way to entice people to buy it in the first place.
Well, maybe they need to figure out a new pricing strategy.
Maybe.
I mean, because seriously, that's the one thing you were griping about a couple of weeks ago was you're still paying $15 a figure for a figure without a card back.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they need to mark them back down to $10 a figure.
I think so.
And people will buy them. I mean, that's the one thing I think Hasbro has figured out it's been our own damnation too, as collectors, is we've gotten to the point where we just wait for stuff to go on clearance. And if you wait long enough and are patient enough, it'll go on clearance. Cause Target's marking like I've seen the Sabine, all the deluxe figures that are out right now. If you look hard enough, you can find them for half off, basically.
Yes. And so, I've been tempted to buy them, but I'm like, do I need it? No.
Hey, the Sabine's a good looking figure. It wasn't worth the $29. As a Sabine fan, it was worth the money to me, but I think you're at that point now at that $16, it's worth the $16. But you don't open it, so why bother? And it's a different style packaging. I think they're trying to come up with interesting ways to package stuff to make people buy it. So you know, it's a double-edged sword. We can blame ourselves or we can blame Hasbro, but It is what it is. Or Ken, yeah, Hasbro.
Chad Admiral Thrawn on Instagram has posted a bunch of screen grabs from Target's internal systems. It shows off a bunch of unannounced Micro Galaxy Squadron vehicles, mm-hmm. which include the Sith Infiltrator, which would go into the Episode One collection that Target has, an AT-TE, a V-19 Torrent, Darth Maul's Nightbrother vehicle. I forgot to look this up. Azur Angel vehicle? I'm not even sure what that is. And an AT-DP vehicle. So that's six new vehicles that are in Target system, and we'll be seeing those at some point.
I'm really surprised Target is doing exclusives on those or still carrying them, because they're, like I said, they're on clearance.
Yeah.
Or they're
it's not tough to find.
Yeah. The bigger pieces are really easy to find.
Yeah. I think, I forgot what I thought. No, I think it's interesting that Micro Galaxy Squadron are doing exclusives, but it seems like, with the exception of the holographic stuff, there hasn't been much Target exclusive in terms of Hasbro and Star Wars.
Right.
Which is, maybe that's telling, maybe it's nothing. Maybe Hasbro's just or decided not to partner with them because they raised prices and they got a black eye. I don't know. But I did want to say, you know, they keep making these Cal Kestis figures. They keep making the Starkiller figures. I would love to see Dash Rendar. And I think this goes back to what I was saying with the spinning of the plates. There's just so much for... Like, why does Starkiller keep getting figures? It's a 15, 20-year-old game that not a lot of people play. I understand Cal because he's in the middle of a franchise. He's got one more game coming at least. But, you know, what about the older stuff? I'd love to see a Dash Rendar figure. I'm reading this, The Secrets of the Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, which goes into the full history and creation of Shadows of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating how... I don't think anything's been done like this before, where they decided to take a couple years. It took 2 years to produce all this, to have a whole team of game designers, comic book artists, writers to come together and really collaborate, because they're telling different pieces of the story.
Right.
So the author is writing his version of the book, but he leaves out Boba Fett. So that's an area that a comic book writer can tackle. So he starts writing the story about Boba Fett, but he needs to talk to the author to make sure that anything he's doing is not contradicting that. Meanwhile, the video game artists are making video games, and they're making a video game based on this whole story. So anything they do needs to make sure it's in line with the comic books. For example, they were using one of the planets that the comic book artist wanted to draw the planet a specific way, but LucasArts had already made the planet in the video game.
We
had to redo that artwork and to change it to make it look dynamic and give it that comic book feel. We can't hear him.
Okay,
your
good.
Your dog was growling in the background, and I could just see you just like quiet. And
I didn't know if Zoom was cutting that out or
yeah,
not.
Zoom is cutting it out.
All right, well, good. I'll just let him go effing crazy.
But yeah, like and so when they do character design, like the comic book artist made a ship. What was the was it Guri? Was Caesar's lover, robot lover, or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't. I remember him having a robot lover, but I don't remember the name.
I think it's Guri. I was reading it last night. I should remember, but...
Yeah. Well, he
designed the ship, so then, you know, he had to make sure the ship was used in other pieces of work. So it was just... took a lot of collaboration, and I think this is a little bit more effort than someone just writing a book in continuity. This is something that Lucasfilm was behind, and George Lucas was approving, and I guess I'm a little disappointed that Lucasfilm decided to wipe that from the table, too.
I think it's Disney that may have stopped that, because there again, that's why they ended the EU, because it was so much going back and forth. And maybe they just don't like having that much going back and forth and having that much have to think that hard. But I kind of liked how they had to have everything conducive, because I remember when the sequels came out and Chewbacca was alive, people freaking losing their crap because they're like, he's dead.
Yeah.
Because he died in the EU. Why is he back? And then before the movie came out, they were like, yeah, the EU doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So I like when they do stuff like that, because, you know, like with Marvel, as much of a pain in the butt it is, or with the TV shows where you have to know what's going on to get it, to really get it, or they give you Easter eggs. You could still watch it and enjoy it without knowing what's going on, but when you do the homework, you enjoy it that much more.
Yeah, and I guess I'm a little disappointed because I was reading the Star Wars comics, the new stuff that Marvel was putting out, and it started to feel a little too comic booky. Like, this doesn't feel Star Wars. This feels more like a generic, homogenized sci-fi story. And so when I saw that they were going to do the gap between Empire and Return of the Jedi in comic book form, I was really disappointed because I was like, you've already covered that, and anything you do will not be as good, at least in my mind, as Shadows of the Empire.
Right.
And Shadows of the Empire is not perfect by any means. I just like the characters. I like the story. I like where it goes. Sure, everything could be revised and improved, but no. At least there wasn't in Mon Calamari Terminators.
I never
Which is a thing in modern comics, sorry.
I never read any of the comics, because once it started to get to the point where you had to buy like $30 or $40 worth of comics a month, my wife was like, toys or comics? And I said, toys.
Yeah. And I'm told what Marvel will do is they'll put like a top-notch writer at the kickstart of a new arc.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of great artists on the line, and the first 12 issues were great, but then I could see that the art diminished after that, the stories diminished, mm-hmm. and they just weren't that good.
Right. Well, they're doing a Rebels comic, Rebels cover run, and just for me to try to figure out how to get that has been eye-opening, because it's just so confusing as a non-comic book collector to figure out when they're coming out, which ones do I need. You know, it's very, and I can see how comics are intimidating for people, because just trying to hunt down certain ones it's intimidating. And then you go to some of these comic book shops, and they're very helpful, but they're like, yeah, we only ordered like three of that cover because nobody buys them. And I'm like, well, I want them. And yeah, comics is a totally new world for me. And I read The Walking Dead when those came out, but I'd buy the trade paperbacks to try to save a little bit of money. That way, you know, you're buying them like every 6 months versus. Yeah. And it's also annoying when like a trade paperback is 15, 20 minutes worth of reading, and a comic book is a 5 minute read. You know, when you can burn through them, that when you spend that much money on them. Now, granted, That's somebody who's not a comic book collector talking. But, and there's like, what? I think there's four titles that come out a month for Star Wars.
There's quite a few.
And they all interact?
Pretty much. They're supposed to. But I feel like the storytelling diminishes because of that. I wish they would, you know, maybe monthly would be better, because then you're focused on the story and making sure it's not just, I need to do something this week, just throw a story out there.
Right.
And then I got disappointed to hear that Kira was becoming more and more featured in it, because it sounds like she's not going to appear in, you know, a solo 2. So we got to do something with that character.
Are we even getting a solo 2?
No. I mean, we're getting Lando something eventually.
Yeah. Hopefully. Have you seen, speaking of Lando, which leads to Donald Glover, have you watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't watched that yet.
If you like Donald Glover, you should watch it. It's a little weird. It has its Donald Glover moments in it. You should watch Atlanta too if you haven't watched it.
I haven't watched that either.
And they both kind of end on a Donald Glover ending, you know, where it just is like, you know, you're thinking about it. It makes you, the end of it makes you think about it. But you know, it's a spy action thing, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So I definitely pick, if you enjoy Donald Glover, it's a good watch. Ted,
yeah,
since you like Donald Glover, watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith if you hadn't already.
There was some talk this week about Zack Snyder, who was on the, and I did watch Watchmen and Man of Steel, and I did enjoy those. But he was talking to Joe Rogan about Batman, and you know, one of the rules Batman has is that he shouldn't kill. And so Zack Snyder was like, so I should kill people with Batman. And I was like, okay, calm down, guy. But then I was thinking about, you know, how does this relate to Star Wars and Jedi? Should Jedi kill people?
It's kind of an unwritten rule that they don't, right?
But they do.
Or maybe I'm thinking Batman, like you just said, and that's where my brain is. But because I know Batman, yeah, Batman didn't kill people. He'd tie them up and leave them for the police. But they do. So why not? I mean, they kill Darth Maul. They kill all the bad guys. They're knights. So I mean, I guess knights kill people.
Yeah, but you're supposed to preserve life. So I think that one of the staples of the Jedi, personally, the Jedi Order should be that Jedi don't kill. That's something the Sith do.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Sith try to preserve life, but they will kill in order to preserve life, whereas Jedi should become one with the Force. They should become monks. I don't think they should kill. And I just was thinking about all the stuff in the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
I think the things that I admire most about Star Wars is like when someone tosses their lightsaber to the side, like Luke Skywalker did at the end of Return of the Jedi. He's like, I'm not killing my father. I'm not doing that. He even sacrificed himself in The Last Jedi.
Right.
It's at the end of the...
I don't know where to go with this, Jason. I wasn't prepared to have a discussion like this. No, I can see where you're going with that. And maybe it would teach kids not to violence or whatever, but I'm trying to think how they did it in High Republic. But yeah, they were killing in High Republic. They were, you know, it was in battles and stuff and you had to get the bad guy, but it wasn't,
Yeah. So maybe that's what the, that movie that James Mangold's putting together about the Dawn of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some sort of monk order and they've got that one twitchy Jedi that it's just like, I'm going to use my powers to do something and stop this bad guy, and he kills him. And it's like, is that the start of evil? Is that the start of the Sith? Is that the corruption of the Jedi right there?
I know. Well, I'm thinking back to like the High Republic. It's not the killing, it's the using the dark side that they're so much against. Because I know in like the High Republic, there was one guy that was kind of channeling the dark side and becoming angry and stuff. And then he was able to really kick butt. And he was frowned upon more for doing that than he was killing people.
Yeah.
So just, you can kill somebody, just don't do it out of anger.
Yeah. Just something to mull on, something to consider. But yeah, do you got anything else to talk about?
I mean, did you watch Bad Batch?
I did. I'm caught up.
All right. What you thinking?
Did my homework.
All right. I thought last week, so three episodes ago, was a lot filler, was a filler episode. And I kind of think this week's was a little bit of a filler, but there was some stuff going down. What I like about what Dave Filoni's doing is there's stuff that's already happened in Rebels that they're kind of bringing back into Bad Batch a little
like
bit.
What?
Well, because in Rebels, Wolf and
Rex,
and then like all the head clone commanders are together in Rebels.
Is it Gregor?
Gregor, and then there's one more. There's like four of them. They're all together in Rebels.
Yeah.
And in this, you kind of see the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Where Wolf I'm jumping way ahead, but at the end of the episode, how he lets them all go. And you could feel it. You could see that something's getting ready. You know, Wolf is getting ready to go back with his brothers. And that kind of got me excited. But that was like the most of the episode that got me excited. It annoys me when they shoot stuff so dark that you can't see what's going on.
It was very tough. I had to close because I was watching the daytime. I needed to close the drapes to be able to see the TV better. Same kind of thing. I agree with you about that snow planet one. It was almost like they sat down and they said, what do we want to accomplish in this one? We want Hunter to kind of repair his relationship or come to terms with Crosshairs.
Right.
And then the whole episode was just trying to hit that beat.
Yeah.
And so it felt a little stretched out. Like there wasn't enough story. There was just an action item that they needed to accomplish in the episode.
Were you waiting for like red stuff to come up when they were on that snow planet? Like maybe, or did you understand that it was a snow planet right from the beginning? Like maybe
did you think it was Crate?
Maybe. I was like, I wonder if that would be cool if they were on Crate.
No, for some reason it read snow planet to me. I don't know why.
Okay.
I can't put my thumb on it, but I do remember when they first went there, I was like, oh, it's cold. I do wish they would stop with the secrecy. Like we're three seasons in. We should know what's going on with Omega other than the M count. Is she some sort of clone Jedi user? Like, why is this such a secret? Why can't you just tell us? Because I don't find it interesting. I find it pretty frustrating.
Right. I mean, it felt like this episode, they're finally like, oh, the M count. And they're like, oh, M count. And I don't think it's the fact that she's a force user. I think it's the fact that her blood can hold the Medichlorians or can transfer it better.
Maybe that's all it is, that her blood can hold midichlorians that no other clone can do, but still, like, just say it. Like,
right.
Just tell us that fact. Stop making this a whole big secret. I'm sure, like, Namase is going to die and she's going to tell her the secret. And it's like, that could have been the cliffhanger in season two.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think they're going to drag it out to the bitter end, and then as the show is ending, we'll be like, oh crap,
yeah,
and yeah, it'll end with like a picture of Snoke in a jar.
It's Snoke in a jar, yeah, or the Emperor, and right. They're like, this is the best we can do, and the Emperor's like, it doesn't look like me.
And he's got the black, he's got the ring and the gold, and the gold on.
He's chugging a Cristal, Cerveza Cristal. That doesn't look like me. Cerveza Cristal. Why is there a commercial for beer in this kid's show?
It's because it's not a kid's show.
No,
Bad Batch has been a good way to, it hasn't captured me like Rebels did, but it's been a good filler. Been good filler content until we figure out what's going on with Star Wars.
It's been a good distraction leading up to Rogue Fun.
Yes. And isn't it? It'll still be going on when Rogue Fun's here, right? Or it'll just be ending.
I think it ends mid-April because I think they, like this past week, they doubled up on episodes. And I think the last day it releases, they dropped three episodes.
Wow.
I think if I remember right, I'm sorry, you can check me and then yell at me and email us at smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com.
Right. Nobody ever does though, Jason. So don't worry about it.
I love the echo chamber, chamber, chamber. There's no one else here.
I do appreciate how they are really when they feel like when the episodes go together, they release them at the same time, which is mm-hmm. nice. But I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about that whole season so far. I'm enjoying it. It is moving, like we said last time, a lot faster than we thought it would.
Yeah.
But now it seems like now that all the cards are on the table, it's slowing down maybe a hair, because now we still have to figure out like Ventress. When is she going to show up? When is all the bounty hunters going to show up?
If they show up.
Don't say that. They showed us Ventress and they showed us Ara Singh, right? No.
Ventress was the only one that I saw a shot of.
No, the chick from Boba Fett, Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, was she Fennec Shand back?
Fennec Shand. She's in it too. They showed her.
Okay. Cool.
Boy, could you imagine if those people didn't show up? I really think it'll maybe a flashback. But,
we'll see.
We'll see.
It's like I said, line. It was like I said, yeah, I stole your line. Take a shot. You didn't have that on your bingo card. I think having Daniel Logan back a couple episodes does bode well for the idea that Boba Fett will be in here at some point. But I'm not holding my breath.
I was kind of hoping that the one guy that they won't show might have been Boba Fett, but it just won't. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on.
We'll see.
My dog will not get off the couch because the other two dogs are on the floor. So that's why he's whining.
I can't hear him. We can't hear him.
Well, I mean, you could see him, though. So there's really weird hierarchy in my dogs, and my youngest one is afraid of the older one sometimes. So he's on my couch, sitting there crying because the other two dogs are. He won't jump down because the other two dogs are on the floor.
I got that same problem. There's a Rathar in my bathroom that won't come out because the Wampa is keeping him in there. And I know you can't hear it because Zoom cancels it out, but it is happening behind me. It's just
quiet.
Sorry.
Well, you do have two dogs, so, but they're puppies. One of them's a puppy.
One of them's a puppy. But
anyway, is there anything? How are your feelings on Bad Batch? You're enjoying it for the most part.
I'm enjoying it. I'm taking it's not Andor. It's not Obi-Wan. It's, I guess I have it down a little bit. It's not Clone Wars. It's not Rebels. It's like filler buying my time. It's a distraction for me because a lot of my mind is focused on Rogue, like I was saying, Rogue Fun. So it's a nice distraction to turn off my brain and enjoy Star Wars. And I just wish I had a little bit more that they weren't holding stuff back.
Right.
And it feels like they're intentionally holding stuff back. Like they know what's going on, but they're not telling us yet. I just wish they would tell us because I think that'd make it, I think the stakes would be higher and I think I would understand better what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And why it's so important to do and save Omega, because if she dies, it's like, okay, well, there goes another clone. I know that's cruel, but I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Like,
We're not, like you said, like you made a good point, and we're not tied to I'm sure there's people that are tied to these characters and are emotionally involved, but they haven't really given us a reason to be emotionally involved with these characters yet.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
Like they did with Rebels.
I forgot to mention, I did pre-order the Obi-Wan and Andor 4K DVD release. Disc release. It's not a DVD, it's 4K, but 4K release, I guess, on disc.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to get that. I can't wait to watch Andor in 4K. That's going to be phenomenal.
Are you going to see if there's people hiding in the still frames? Start pausing it to find people hiding.
And Obi-Wan, yes.
Obi-Wan will be like, who's that weirdo right there? And it looks like he's at Celebration crying because Ewan McGregor walked by him.
Oh, I'd be honored if I was in Obi-Wan Kenobi. I know Obi-Wan Kenobi was bumpy, a rocky journey, but I do think the emotional beats were pitch perfect.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Leia. I don't know why people don't like Leia, but I thought that character was pitch perfect. The ending where, you know, I love the fact that Obi-Wan Kenobi was essentially PTSD, suffering from that and suffering from loss. And he comes to terms with that. There is some overarching character development in Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You know how he did that?
How do you do
with
that?
The Cerveza Cristal.
Cerveza Cristal. That's why he started drinking it. PTSD. Yes. And he went down a dark path.
Yes.
The only thing he could get access to on the planet. He was living in a cave drinking Cerveza Cristal.
I didn't. Going back to Obi-Wan, I thought Leia was a little brat until he goes, you remind me of somebody. And then you were just like, oh no, she's acting and she's playing the role perfect.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden everything, your perspective totally changes towards the character. And yeah, when he's the end, I really probably need to rewatch Obi-Wan because it was a good show. I keep saying that and then I'll just watch something else or you don't think about it. I want to rewatch Ahsoka because it was such a good show and it's such a, you know, and when you watch stuff back to back, when you don't have to wait a week in between episodes, it brings a new perspective to things.
Yeah.
I found that with a lot of stuff that we binge watch, where you're not having to wait for, you can just hit next and you're not waiting a week. It totally changes everything the way you watch it.
Yeah. I wonder if I should quickly make koozie cup holders, you know, the koozies that say Cerveza Cristal in like Arabesh. And there in you go. Universe, I don't know. Anyways, I don't
it'd
know.
It'd be funny. I mean,
it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I ain't got time for that.
You got time? Just add it on, dude. I add it on to your list of crap. Dude, just putting the music together because we were talking, I'm going to go behind the scenes on Rogue Fun real quick. We were doing a production meeting and then they were like, what about music? So we got our buddy Jerry turned that around in like 12 hours, which surprised me. But I was happy that he was able to do it so fast, but that's also like what Pandora and all that stuff is good for, because you can do a channel. Is basically what he did. He picked a song and did a channel, and then boom, here's 30 songs that go with this song, and they all worked. And then I downloaded them, and I'm like, remembering how to do iTunes and remembering how to do all that stuff, it took me like twice as long as it should because I had to figure it all back out. And I couldn't imagine what the amount of stuff that you've put on your shoulders for Rogue Fun is crazy. Because just doing the music that somebody had prepared for me to download was insane.
I was thinking about slipping in a Dave Matthews song in there.
But no, we
just
go to the...
just as the Office reference, Dave Matthews, deep cuts. Hey, I said deep cuts. And then he starts, I like this song. He starts dancing in the roller rink.
We go to the snowball stand on exit 8, and he's really big into Dave Matthews. And I'll joke with Mandy that it's not a trip to the snowball stand unless you hear Dave Matthews, because it's like every fifth song is a Dave Matthews song. And we'll be like, the owner must really like Dave Matthews. And they're like, yeah, it's his favorite band and we have to play it.
I'll save it for karaoke. I won't play it. I won't slip it in there. I'll just sing it.
Drink too much.
What was that?
Drink too much.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going. I know what you're doing now. It took me a second.
All
right, what song is he going with there?
Yeah.
Drink too much.
Dude, I love watching that band live because like their drummer, I've watched a live video like back in the day, and the drummer's like doing this insane drum roll and just beating on time and just doing and he blows bubblegum and you're just like,
It's second nature for them.
Right. You're like, oh my God, how can he do that?
I've seen him three times. And one of the times in Syracuse, you know, I got there early. We were paying attention to like the they didn't have a warm up. They just came out and started playing and everybody started coming up. It was the lawn. And this guy comes like within inches from my head. Like he's standing in front of me and he lights up some marijuana and he just starts smoking. I'm like, oh God, this is not going to be a good concert if I get a contact high. And after the first song, they was like, let's get closer. And they just start like pushing themselves through. And it was after that, I was like, if I'm going to a concert, I want a seat. I don't want people pushing through and trying to get closer. And
yeah,
Dave Matthews experience.
Right. Because Mandy likes being a little bit further back. She's a lawn person. I'm like, no, I want to be as close to the stage as I can. So we got to find like the middle sometimes.
If I can't get a pick, I'm too far away.
Right. If I can't see the sweat, it's not.
If I can't put a jar out and collect sweat from, who do you see? Faith No More.
I'm still mad about that. Had tickets to see them twice and both of them canceled.
If I can't collect Sting's sweat, I'm out.
That's $1,000 a ticket if you want that.
And I could sell that on eBay for $100.
All right.
Rogue Fun this week, we've announced the charity auction. So if you are paying attention to that, we're going to be posting more items in the charity auction announcement. This week, we've We've done something kind of cool. We've done a Camtono project. In past, the club has done Darth Vader cases where we've asked artists to paint them up in different styles, and we've auctioned those off. Rancho Obi-Wan has done Stormtrooper masks, and they've asked artists to do different styles and different things with their Stormtrooper masks, and they sell that off for charity auction. So we've kind of taken a note out of that, or taken a page out of that. And we've done Camtono's mini ice cream makers, and we've asked several artists to put their own spin on it. And we're going to be doing a silent auction during it, and all the proceeds will go to Rancho Obi-Wan. I think we've got 10, if I remember right.
Yeah, something 10, like that.
10 different Camtonos. I mean, we wanted a selection, but we didn't want too much where it was overwhelming. So I think 10 was the right number. But we will be posting those leading up to Rogue Fun. All the different Camtonos you can choose on, and that'll be announced on Tuesday, which is when this drops.
Yes.
And it's right around the corner. I mean, when this drops, we'll be closer to 6 weeks than 7.
Oh! Time to get excited, Jason.
Yeah, I was getting excited. I was thinking about it just the other day, how we're slowly transitioning from planning to executing.
Yeah.
And I can visual myself, you know, hanging out at Orion's and the official kickoff of the event and everybody gathered and having a good time. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be exciting. I can't wait.
You just need that guy from Dave Matthews to come smoke a joint in front of you and then you can chill yeah. out.
Yeah, if only it was legal in Georgia. If Dave Matthews shows up at Orion's, that'd be fun.
Yeah, well, then that one friend of yours that's really into Jay Matthews would have to be there, or I think she'd be upset if you didn't call her and be like, Dave Matthews is here.
She'd be over in a heartbeat.
She'd be like, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going now.
Yeah. Anything else?
No. Nope. There's nothing else. I mean, dude, I'm surprised we got an hour out of this show today, truthfully. But
that's because I came prepared with topics like Shadows of the Empire and do Jedi Kill. Otherwise, we'd be done 20 minutes ago.
Right.
But yeah,
you know what else
kinda...
came? Huh?
What? What did I come?
No, nothing. I was going to go to the ending, but it didn't work. Oh. So you were going to say something.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow time right now with Star Wars. With Acolyte, we'll be able to talk about that a little bit. And later in the year, we'll talk about Skeleton Crew and. You know, next week we'll be able to talk about Toylanta, and then in a couple of weeks we'll talk about Rogue Fun.
Are we going to talk live, or are we going to do a live show at Toylanta?
Oh, we'll see. I don't know, because I'm doing that panel from 2 to 2:45. I'm doing the panel with the 501st. I'm not going to be doing a separate panel anymore, so I don't know. The show will close an hour after that, so we'll see.
Maybe we'll figure something out. I'll have my recorder with me just in case we get a wild hair and want to record live. But next week's Toylanta, so come find us. It's in what, Mary? Is it? No, it's in Peachtree Corners, Georgia or something.
That's not Sandy Springs, right?
No, it's not Sandy Springs. It's like 141 area.
That area kind of confuses me because it's like if you move a mile, you're now in Dunwoody. You're not in Sandy Springs anymore. And if you move a mile again, you're in a different place. And
yeah, it's sort of like the trifecta because you do have a lot of stuff coming in there. I think officially it's like Peachtree Corners, but it's also Norcross. Yeah. So I'm hoping it's a good time. We'll see. I know there's some stuff going on in the background that I don't want to get into on the podcast, but we'll see how good of a show it is this year. I'm hoping it'll be a good one.
Somewhere in this galaxy, Obi-Wan Kenobi is drinking Cerveza Cristal, listening to Dave Matthews. I drink too much. And that is the conclusion of this episode of the Smuggler's Galaxy logo. Oh, my God. I messed up. It was so smooth, and then I messed it up. Well, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Really helps us out and points people to our show. You can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Send us an email or message us. We love feedback. We'd love to make you part of our show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. Thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People, collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.
This is the way.